There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Third and final hour of the show. Do send us in your text on 4001. We'll get to those in this final hour of the show. We'll keep an eye on the live sport for you. Let's start with the rugby first and foremost, because we've got the final event of the HSBC World Series. Rugby Sevens, this is. They're playing down at Twickenham. Let's get the latest, CBR.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, Australia has just beaten Wales 20 points to 12. Currently, New Zealand are taking on Argentina, and they lead that one 5-0. Fiji take on Scotland, and then the beloved Kenya taking on France, and the big one of the evening, 10 past 6 kickoff, it's England taking on the USA.
Let's get around the courts over at Roland Garros now. Boys have got their eyes on a number of the courts. I'm watching court 18 at the moment, where the Argentine Schwartzman is taking on Coric. Schwartzman is 11th seed in this particular tournament, and seeding is going with the score because he's up by one set. Won that first one against Marin Coric by seven games to five, so it leads that one by 1-0. It's none apiece in the second. Rafa Nadal on court at the moment.
Yeah, he might be off court pretty soon because he's making the most of Richard Gasquet. He's up 5-1 and he's serving right now, and he's down love 15 going against the Frenchman. And this one looks like it might be over before it even started. Richard Gasquet not playing his best tennis, although he is up 30 love in this game. Is it just me, or is that tennis sun on Richard Gasquet done him no favors in the aging department? He looks like he's 30 going on 60.
Let's get over to the women's singles. It is round three there. Australia's Gavrilova is trailing Caroline Mertens at the moment by one set to love. This is the 24th seed against the 16th seed. It's into the second, and Mertens has taken the first game on serve with that one. Over to the other courts now, and over to court number one, where Zverev is in action.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell is, of course, Zverev is taking on Kevin Anderson as one set all there. It's currently 2-1 in the third. It's going on serve.
The big news a little earlier on today, Kyle Edmund is out of the tournament, as is Karolina Kvitova, is also out, having been beaten by Kontaveit a little earlier. Let's get to the world of golf now. Let's go stateside and get the latest from the Memorial. Ross Grist.
Yeah, we got guys teeing off right now. Third round underway. Everyone who's made the cut is playing right now. Russell Knox, you'll see him go off pretty soon here. He's actually going to tee off within the next 10 minutes. He's at one under. Yuta Aikida from Japan, he's at even par. He just teed off with American Sam Barnes, also at even par. Andrew Laundrie, he's up plus one for the day. He's already teed off as well. Elsewhere, let's see who else is teeing off. Chesson Hanley, he'll be teeing off here within the next 10 minutes. We'll get you some more of these scores, but let's look at the leaderboard right now. Joachim Niemann at 11 under. He's tied with American Kyle Stanley at 11 under. Byung Young Hung at 9 under. Bryson DeChambeau at 8 under. J.B. Holmes at 8 under. Hideki Matsuyama, he is at 8 under. Jason Day at 8 under. Patrick Cantlay at 8 under. So we've got some big names here at Murrayfield for the Dublin, Ohio Memorial presented by Nationwide. Bubba Watson at 6 under. And our man, Tiger Woods, he's tied for 24th. He will be teeing off today at 11:20 Eastern time. Let me do the math right now. So that should be around... I'll get back to you with that
later.
One, Tom. Yeah, it's going to be later. He's going to be paired up with Mr. Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed. So these two, both Nike apparel golfers, Mr. Carl Van Rosenfeldt. So they'll be wearing those Nike Nice Blade shirts.
Yeah, they'll be looking very good out there. But as I say, I can't say I'm the biggest fan of Mr. Reed, but of course, the Masters champion.
Oh, it must be the apparel. One man who's happy to be on the golf course. He loves the Memorial. He comes here year after year, and, well, the last couple years he hasn't been able to play due to various issues on and off the golf course, is Mr. Tiger Woods. We say it week in, week out. Golf is better with Tiger in the game. Golf is better when Tiger makes the cut, and Tiger is just happy to be playing golf this weekend.
I play with weekend rounds with my buddies. Whether or not I could play on tour would be another story, and that's a big leap. And to somehow be out here now doing it again, it's a blessing.
How many people, and if you could name them, it would be even better, knew the scope of your situation?
Not many.
It's not the first name or the last name.
You know, there was obviously my trainers, my surgeons, my coach, Elon, and so there weren't a lot of people.
Half dozen, maybe.
Maybe a little bit more. Yeah, it's definitely in single digits.
And this may be the dumbest question of all, but why didn't you tell us?
No need.
Those are the thoughts of Tiger Woods. He's bossing it down at the Memorial. We hope that he goes well in the third and penultimate round.
Yeah, we do, because he's been playing lights out. Did you see that eagle shot he had? I believe on the 13th, he holed one out from 90 yards, something like that. So when his game is on, it's on. I was a little bit worried because he started out and he missed a 4-foot putt. That's something that Tiger normally just sinks right there. But he posted a 67 yesterday. If he can come out with another 67 today, Tiger Watch will be officially on. I mean, we'll all be glued to the televisions. I'll be waking up early in the morning, staying up late to see if he can really hoist this one, because he loves playing in Columbus, Ohio.
That's what's happening stateside. Let's go to the European Tour now. They are centered in on Italy for the Italian Open.
Yeah, as you said, the Garda Golf Club, Tom, on the banks of Lake Garda. Absolutely beautiful venue, and it's all part of the Rolex series. And what I can tell you is that overnight leader Martin Kaymer so far has not been having the best day. He's still on even par at 11 under, and he's on hole 10. What I can tell you is Englishman Lee Slattery is leading. Talking about shooting lights out, he has shot lights out today, and he's only on hole number 15. He's 8 under for today. One shot lead after over Thorbjørn Olesen, the Dane, at 14 under par. Danny Willett, the former Masters champion, is coming into some fantastic form. He's at 13 under par. Thomas Aitken shot a fantastic 64 today. He's on 12 under par, tied with Andy Sullivan as well as Ian Poulter.
Martin Kaymer was the overnight leader. He's had a bit of a shocker in round number three. We're looking to get back up that leaderboard with the final holes of his round and into the fourth and final hole. He was content, though, going into this, the third round, a little earlier on today.
Well, Martin, that seemed like vintage Martin Kaymer. Is that how it felt out there?
Yeah, it's been a while that I played that solid, you know, without making a mistake. I think I was getting very close recently, but that positivity was really missing on the golf course, because I haven't had a lot of good results. And recently I've been playing well. I just couldn't see a good score. And today my only goal was just trying to hit fairways, because if you hit fairways you would create chances, and I think I drove it very well today, and then a few putts went in on the last 5-6 holes, and then one of those rounds they happen.
Well, you certainly made it look very easy. I have to say that. You were surprised with the bunch scoring here when you looked at the leaderboards today?
Well, I mean, it is a golf course that you can really shoot very low scores, but in the end, you still need to hit those fairways. If you don't hit the fairways, you know, it's tricky to make or to create birdie chances. So it was always one of those things, knowing when you play practice rounds, when you play pro-ams, you know you're going to shoot, or you have to shoot 3 or 4 under at least to have a chance on Sunday.
Do you still get excited when you're at the top of the leaderboard? Everything you've done in golf?
Even more now, because it has been a while for me, and doesn't matter if you won majors and if you had those situations I had at the Ryder Cups. It doesn't matter, you know. It's really exciting to be in a position that you can win a golf tournament again. It's really exciting to see myself playing that solid. It was just a matter of putting the right mental attitude onto the golf course, and I did very well the last 2 days.
So you're up there in front, 36 holes to go. What's the secret to front running?
To continuing. You know, I know how hard it was. I was very proud of myself at the US Open, the way I played over the weekend. You know, to get in the lead is one thing, but to continue, that's always a tough part. I did that well in the past, and that's really the key, you know, not to look back. Look forward and continue your aggressive, smart game.
This is The Grill, in association with Barasti Superdome, the only place to view football this summer.
Game on indeed down here at Barasti, where we are broadcasting The Grill live and direct, as we do each and every Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6. We keep an eye on Roland Garros, because it is the middle Saturday of the tournament. Ross Crist is watching this game on the big screen in front of us at the moment. We were talking about Rafa Nadal having it all his own way just a few moments ago.
I think I fired up Richard Gasquet with calling him a little bit of Benjamin Button of the tennis court or something like that. But he's gotten 3 games back on the Spaniard. So the Frenchman's giving him a heck of a set here. The number one overall seed, Rafael Nadal. He's up 5-3 right now. He just blasted his left hand, big forehand, right down the line, and a big screen from Nadal right here. So here we are right now. It's 5-3. Nadal is serving. But Gasquet is up 30-15. Things could get interesting here if he makes it 5-4.
Let's turn to our attention to all things rugby. We had the Aviva Prem final last weekend. We had the Pro 14 final last weekend. And we've got the final of the Top 14 over in France a little later on. That sees Montpellier against Castres in the final there. Two names that you wouldn't ordinarily associate with finals in France.
Yeah, not normally, but of course Montpellier has made a couple of big signings this season. The old Scottish coach is coaching them. Of course, they got rid of Jake White. That's the team kind of Jake White brought to the forefront of French football. But yeah, we normally, as we were speaking about a little bit earlier off air, you normally see Racing 92 there. You are used to seeing Toulon there. You know, we used to seeing the likes of Clermont. But yeah, as you say, I think it should be a fantastic final once again. Montpellier, you know, they've got the Duplessis brothers up front. They've got some fantastic players. So I think it's really, really is going to be a fantastic final this evening. I believe kicking off at around about 10:45 UAE time. So if you're up late, definitely watch it.
Watch that and then stay up a little bit later, because if you are still awake around about sort of 12:30 this evening, there is the first of the summer internationals. It's the start of the Welsh tour. They're playing South Africa, but they're not in South Africa. They're over in the United States.
Time the Springboks have played in the US since 2001, and thousands of South African fans are expected to make the trip to Washington DC this weekend. Several key players have stayed back home, but that hasn't put off fans like Hein Smit, who's travelled more than 1,000 kilometres from Florida.
I'm very excited to see good rugby, I'm sure, and I know Welsh team is watered down as well. Yes, it is disappointing, but you got to manage your players. The seasons have just become too long.
Organisers say South African ticket sales have been strong in recent weeks as excitement builds ahead of Saturday's game.
For USA Rugby, it's a really good thing for us, you know, especially here in the States where haven't hosted international like this in Washington, D.C. before. So to have an interest from these teams and the fans has been pretty fantastic. I think it's a testament to the growth of the game here.
New Springboks coach Rassie Erasmus has named 7 debutants in the 26-man squad for the U.S. trip. Senior players say the new faces are settling in well.
We're good for us to get off on a winning note, especially with new systems in place. A few new boys getting an opportunity to wear the green and gold, that's quite special.
A lot of them will be getting their first caps this weekend, which is also obviously a dream come true to in their country. So we're excited for that day.
The focus now is on the players' recovery after a long flight from South Africa, and giving the players a chance to relax with supporters delighted to see South African rugby in an unfamiliar setting. Harry Horton, SABC News, Washington.
The Springbok Sevens captain, Philip Snyman, says the team knows they need to do more if they hope to defend their HSBC World Sevens Series title. There are 2 more events remaining in the current series, with South African currently trailing log leaders Fiji by 4 points. On the opening day, South Africa take on Russia, Canada, and conclude their program against the tricky Samoa.
So South Africa in action in both codes, 15s and 7s today. Let's start with the venue if we can. South Africa against Wales in Washington, spreading the word.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I know a lot of people have come in with a lot of criticism of this fixture, but I think it's absolutely fantastic taking rugby to America. You know, there's a lot of support out there. There's a lot of Welsh, there's a lot of South Africans, there's a lot of rugby lovers staying within the United States of America, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that we are growing the game. To me, a little bit disappointing that we're not seeing the greatest strength Welsh team and the strongest South African team, Tom, but you know, I think at the end of the day, if we want it to become a global sport, we need to do these type of events. We saw how much energy the All Blacks against Ireland created when they played in Chicago, and I think this is, once again, another great initiative.
They're back there again in November again. Ireland taking on Italy again at Soldier Field in November of this year during the Autumn Internationals. But before that, we've got the Sevens World Cup over in July over at San Francisco. So things moving in the right direction to take the game to the States.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Every single year, the Vegas Sevens is the big we'll say a rowdy bunch come out to that town for a good time. So you were seeing rugby increase in scholarship in America, which is good for the game of rugby. It's good for American rugby as well, because the way I look at it, we have 362 million people. We should be a little bit better at rugby, guys. We really should. We have the sportsmen right now. We're seeing it grow at the collegiate level, very, very good. We're seeing it grow at the college club level, very, very well. But we just need to see it grow better at the national level.
But I think at the end of the day, you know, we really need to take a hat off to Mike Friday. He's done a fantastic job with the USA Sevens team. And I think that, you know, they've got a fantastic chance to win this with this World Cup in San Francisco. And I think that's the way the USA have been growing rugby. But I encourage more and more games to go stateside as such and keep growing the game of rugby.
That game kicks off at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning, South Africa against Wales in Washington, D.C. So make sure you tune in for that one. As was mentioned in that little piece from SABC a little earlier on as well, they are in action down in Twickenham as we speak. The Blitzbok down there as well. They're looking to seal another World Series. It's yet to be determined as well, because we've had some sort of drop-off in form. Is that more to do with players being fed into the Super Rugby franchises?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I mean, tonight, Quagga Smith makes his debut for the Boks. We know how influential he's been in the Sevens game, but he'll be wearing the number 6 jersey in DC this evening. Sanatla, who's an absolute match winner, he's been on the wing for the Stormers. So, yeah, it has been a bit of a weekend South African team. But saying that, though, it also gives a fantastic opportunity for these youngsters to come through, you know, to show their strength and skills. And I think if we look at Sevens rugby as a whole, I think it's in a very, very healthy state. To me, it's a lot healthier at the moment than 15 aside.
They've gone all right today, Dan?
Yeah, South Africa have had a fantastic start. They've beaten Russia. They've beaten Canada. They will be playing Samoa next. Samoa have lost to Russia, so we should win that one. So, yeah, we'll end top of the pool, hopefully.
Keep an eye on that one. Right, let's just cast our mind back to this time last week. We were getting ready for the Aviva Premiership final, which was much anticipated in many ways. It saw the two big guns of the Aviva Prem, English rugby, club rugby, taking one another on Exeter against Saris. A lot of people expecting Exeter to go into that one as favourite. It ended up being a Saris-dominated game. But it was also a very significant game for a former South African great who was playing his last game for Saris in this one. Let's just remind ourselves of those final moments in a shirt over in English rugby for Schalk Brits.
So this is a moment. It's a final appearance on a rugby pitch for the evergreen Peter Pan of rugby, Schalk Brits, telling us on Tuesday that he just had an offer from a new club, but that no, he wouldn't be taking it up. Arguably the Premiership's greatest ever overseas import. Always with a smile on his face, always enjoying his rugby. What a servant he has been.
The irony, CBR, and it lasted 2 minutes because he was sin-binned after that.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, but as I say, the Peter Pan of the Aviva Premiership. Schalk Brits, of course, at school with me, so he's an absolute legend of the Aviva Premiership. Fantastic rugby player. I always believe never, ever got treated well by South African rugby. A lot of people always had this idea in his head that he was too small for international hooker. I was very happy to see when he did make the squad for the 2015 World Cup. I think, you know, he rightly deserved that honour and to put the green and gold on the game. But a fantastic servant to Saracens and ultimately a fantastic rugby player.
Look, I just got word from Headingley. There's been no play at the moment because it's raining up north over in the in England at the moment. Play is set to begin. The umpires have been out. They've inspected. Play is set to begin at 5:45 at Headingley as England look to chase down that early innings advantage or early innings score lead from Pakistan, who was skittled yesterday on day one by a resurgent England team. Stuart Broad has got himself into something of a war of words with Michael Vaughan after the two had something of a sparring battle after that England performance in the first test. Michael Vaughan is well entitled to his opinions on the England team. He's a former England international. There is suggestion from Stuart Broad that all he's doing is trying to sell his column and his programmes as well. And the timing has now been called into question as to why Stuart Broad should be midway through a test match calling out Michael Vaughan.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that side. And of course, Stuart Broad has been playing quite well, but Yeah, leave Michael Vaughan alone. It's got nothing to do with you. You stick to your job on field and let Vaughan write the articles.
Day two will get underway at 5:45. As things stand at the moment, England trail by 68 runs. They have got Joe Root there at the crease and Dom Bess as well, the 20-year-old who made his debut down at Lords. War is also up there as the night watchman, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. Pakistan were woeful in the first innings. They were brilliant in the first test, that said, down at Lords, albeit different conditions, looks like, on day two up in Headingley as well. A lot of the credit for Pakistan's resurgence in cricket has also been put down to a certain South African individual, Mickey Arthur, who's got the reins down there at the moment.
Yeah, Mickey has done a great job, and we seem to be quite influential wherever you drop us off, Tom, so especially when I looked at
apart from trying to get Wimbledon tickets, you know.
Exactly, it seems to be the only place we're struggling. We've seen that Roger Federer's half South African. I might use my connection there. But yeah, he has done a fantastic job, and it's fantastic to see Pakistan, you know, right up there in you know, the top form of world cricket, where they belong. They have been very disappointing at Headingley. Not quite the conditions. I thought they were a bit disastrous from a batting perspective. Especially
that said, England have been good as well.
Exactly. Not taking anything away from England. And, you know, England, so much criticism during the Ashes series. You know, they really didn't perform down under very, very well. But they have come back strongly. And people, like we just mentioned, Broad now has had a fantastic spell in this test match. So I think, once again, don't underestimate England. I still believe they're a good quality side. It seems like the players, as you've just mentioned, Joe Root, Alistair Cook, these boys are connecting well. But as I said, overall, you've got to give Mickey full marks for doing a great job with the Pakistani team.
I love him. I think he's very honest. I love the way his approach as well. One thing he's done with the Pakistan team is he's dealt with their indiscipline, but also their fitness as well. He left a couple of players back in Pakistan because they failed the bleep test. He said, if you're not passing my bleep test, you're not getting on the plane and coming with me. And there were a couple that failed. And they were left behind as well, regardless of talent and reputation. And there's a great viral that's doing the rounds at the moment. If you get a moment, have a little look at it on social, which is him. If a player gets a shot wrong or plays a shot badly in the nets whilst they're training, a lot of coaches will let it go by the bye. Mickey makes them get them down and give them 10. He wants 10 press-ups every time they get it wrong.
I like that.
Old school. Yeah. Old school. You got to love it.
It's like, it reminds me of that sergeant from the Vietnam War movie. Was it Full Metal Jacket?
Full Metal Jacket, yeah. Private Pike, wasn't it?
Yeah, rest in peace. That guy actually passed away 2 weeks ago.
I was wondering why the upper bodies of the Pakistanis are looking a lot bigger. It must be all the push-ups.
They're looking
the
brilliant. They're looking brilliant in the field. They're looking a lot more on it. They were a joy to watch down at Lords. And let's hope they make a game of it up here at Headingley. Mickey Arthur, take your hat off. Take a bow, sir. Also, that great comment that he was coming about. You know, he was talking about certain individuals and how he has to watch from behind a sofa with a couple of cushions, because he never knows what shot they're going to play next as well. He is a breath of fresh air. He's a great man for the world of cricket. Let's hear from him as he leads us up to a short break when we come back with more for you. Football's next.
Planning, I'm sure, like every international team has. And even though we've got so much cricket from now until that World Cup, we know before we blink we're going to be at a World Cup. So everything we do with our white ball at the moment is preparation leading up until that World Cup, so that we can hit that tournament fully prepared and ready to go.
What makes the World Cup in the UK a special tournament?
I think cricket in the UK is so special. I think every time you go back, it's certainly where cricket originated. The grounds are fantastic. The crowd's fantastic. We certainly, as a Pakistan team, get unbelievable support in England. And it's almost a home away from home for us. So a World Cup in England is something that is very, very special, and something the players that eventually go to will be very privileged to have ticked off.
Pakistan will enter the tournament as Champions Trophy winners. How can they add another title to their cap?
Look, we can only go there and play the best cricket we possibly can. We know our best cricket is good enough. It just comes down to us being consistent and maintaining our standards, maintaining roles, maintaining our clarity in terms of what we want to do. And if we do all that and everything goes well, we maintain our brand of cricket, who knows what could happen. We certainly know our best cricket's good enough, and we've just got to. The challenge for us is just to keep playing it at that level, game after game.
What do you think of the event format?
I think the event format's great. I think this could be fairly controversial, but a 10-team World Cup I think is perfect. It allows every team to play each other. It's strength versus strength without a doubt. It's a round robin format. It's the fairest format. Going, and the two The four best teams at the end of the day qualify for semi-finals. The two best teams get to a final and then obviously a winner. And if you're a winner, it means that you've played consistently well for 2 months. You haven't just played consistently well at the back end of the tournament. So I think it's a really good format. I think it's a great tournament. We can't wait.
What will be the recipe for victory in the world? Our
recipe for victory is fairly simple. We want to keep playing the brand of cricket that's seen our success over the while. That's been an attacking brand. You know, for too long we weren't as attacking as we should have been, and that's with bat and ball. So our brand's going to be attacking. We're going to look to take the game on. We're going to look to when we bat. We're going to look to take wickets when we bowl. And if we get all that right, who knows where we could end up.
Last question. Would you like to share with us your reaction after Pakistan lost in the 1999 World Cup final to Australia at Lord's?
Yeah, look, I was devastated at the time simply because South Africa had lost the semi-final to Australia in that game that was the tied game and South Africa ended up losing. So I was in South Africa at the time. I was a South African playing first-class cricket. And like every South African, we were devastated because we thought, as South Africa, we were going to go through to play Pakistan in the final. I obviously watched that game with a lot of interest and disappointed that Pakistan didn't get over the line in the end. But we hope to take that one step further for the people of Pakistan. And hopefully, it's end of July or early July in 2019, we can be back at Lord's and certainly going one step further.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill in association with Barasti Superdome. Football lives at Barasti this summer.
Okie dokie, let's turn our attention to Roland Garros, where there is live action at the moment. Let's go to centre court. Carrasco is watching this one for us. Rafa Nadal in action.
Yeah, Rafa Nadal, well, he's doing good. He won the first set over the Frenchman, Richard Gasquet, 6-3. Gasquet pulled it together there after the end of the first five games where Nadal went up 5-love. Then he got three games back, but then it was all Rafael Nadal. Now they're in the second set right now. Rafael Nadal has had some big serves, some big backhands as well. You've seen some fist pumps as they go right now in between the second game. He's up 2-love here in the second set. So he's up 2-0 right now after winning the first set, Tom.
Let us get ourselves down to Twickenham, where the HSBC Rugby Sevens World Series comes to a conclusion. Down at the home of English rugby, possibly a world rugby. Remains to be seen. That's for another show altogether. Let's ask South African correspondent to bring us up to date with the latest.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell is Australia have beaten Wales 20-12. New Zealand hammering Argentina 36-5. Fiji in action against Scotland at the moment. They're leading that one quite comfortably, 22-10. Coming up, Kenya take on France, England take on the USA, Canada take on Russia, and then South Africa play Samoa.
Internationals for you, I should say, international friendlies for you, as a number of teams prepare their final build-up to the World Cup. A number of teams that aren't in the World Cup, a number of those that are as well, all in action this evening. This Republic of Ireland game against the USA, it's Republic of Ireland against the USA. It's been played over in Ireland. It's kicking off at 11:08. Now, has that got anything to do with timing stateside, or is that just Irish intuition for you?
Who knows?
8 minutes past.
It's just, you know, maybe 7 minutes past is an unlucky number.
Maybe it takes 7 minutes to sing the national anthem so the games will actually start at 11:15. Who knows?
It's got to do with scheduling, surely. It's got to be TV scheduling or something along those lines. 8 minutes past 11 for that one. States missed out for FIFA, didn't they?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I think Republic of Ireland did as well, didn't they? They didn't make it through.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom.
So those two teams are just playing out for glory, but it is always a great game when those two teams take on each other, Ireland against USA, later on this evening. Before that, Belgium against Portugal. That's going to be a cracker.
Absolutely, Tom. And I kind of feel that Portugal could be the dark horses for the World Cup.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think just kind of depending on how Mr. Ronaldo performs. But yeah, that Belgium team is loaded with so much quality. I mean, you know, you just have to look at the goalkeeper. There's Lukaku in there. There's Kevin De Bruyne in there. There's Hazard in there. There's Kompany in there. So they've actually got a star-studded lineup. And yeah, they could cause a bit of damage too in the World Cup. But as you say, it should be a cracker this evening.
European derby at 10:45. That is Belgium against Portugal. There is a Baltic derby at 10:15 this evening. Montenegro against Slovenia. Kenya. That should be a great game as well. No love lost between those particular teams, and they will be going head-to-head as at 10:15. At 9:45 this evening, there is a Scandinavian derby as Sweden take on Denmark, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Austria against Germany is a mid-European derby as well. The two European neighbours taking each other on at 8 o'clock this evening, and then a great game at 8:15 this evening. It's live from Wembley tonight, where England starts or continue their preparations ahead of the FIFA World Cup over in Germany. They're taking on Nigeria. I'm really looking forward to this one for a number of reasons. There's been a lot of backstory about Nigeria's preparation for this particular game. See the story about the selling of the shirt. The shirt went on sale a couple of days ago. Sold out within an hour or something.
Yeah,
like that?
But have you seen the shirt? It's pretty impressive. It is really, really is very, very impressive. And as you say, of course, they're a Nike sponsored team. Nike have said we've got no more kit left. And as you said, people were standing in queues in the UK to get their hands on this fantastic jersey.
England have been training and opening up to the media during their training in preparation for this game and in preparation for the World Cup. Nigeria, for their part, well, they've just gone live at a press conference and saying, how did you prepare? When we find a grand piano, we just sing, and some people dance, some people dance on it, and we just have fun as well. So preparations for the World Cup underway. A promises to be an entertaining game in many ways. It is an international friendly after all. Not sure how hardcore it will be with the FIFA World Cup just a couple of days away, but let us take the opportunity to look ahead to Nigeria's chances tonight and, of course, at the World Cup.
27 days to go now, and today we look at the first of five African nations competing in Russia this summer, and that's Nigeria. They made their debut in 1994 and have since qualified a further five times, making them the most successful African nation. They're likely to be well supported too. Nigeria are the most populated country in Africa and have one of the largest populations in the world, estimated at around 185 million people. They'll face familiar opponents in their group. Apart from in 1998, Nigeria have been drawn to face Argentina in the group stages. On the other four occasions, Nigeria have lost every match. Arsenal's Alex Iwobi scored the goal that got them to Russia, a 1-0 win against Zambia, securing their qualification with a game to spare, despite being drawn in an apparent group of death alongside Cameroon and Algeria. And England fans will get a preview of what to expect in Russia with the two sides meeting in a friendly on June the 2nd. And there's likely to be a few familiar faces in the Nigerian team at Wembley, as Iwobi, Kelechi Iheanacho, Wilfred Ndidi and Victor Moses could all be involved. Looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that one indeed. 8:15 local time here in the UAE if you'd like to watch that. We've been talking about football, soccer, call it what you will, over in Europe and ahead in the lead up to the FIFA World Cup. Let's go football, soccer, call it what you will, stateside now to the United States and Canada.
Well, we're just going to head north of the border. We're going to head straight to the CFL. The Canadian Football League is in their preseason week two. We normally don't touch on the CFL, but I'll tell you why we're going to touch on it now. But I will give Canadians some love right now. Ottawa defeated Montreal 27-7 in a blowout. This one was played in Ottawa. Edmonton fell to Winnipeg 33-13. O'Brien went 9-for-14 with 57 yards passing for the Eskimos. Strever had 140 yards, one touchdown, and went 10-for-10 for the Blue Bombers. The Calgary Stampeders defeated the British Columbia Lions. British Columbia Lions defeated Calgary Stampeders 36-23. This was a high-scoring game. Ricky Stanzi went 6-for-15 with 72 yards in this game. And then elsewhere, the second game of the preseason featured the Toronto Argonauts with Bethel Thompson as their quarter going against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Why does this game matter? Well, the Toronto Argonauts won this preseason game 36-18. But the Hamilton Tiger Cats have a Mr. Johnny Manziel, the former Heisman Trophy winner, signed a two-year deal to play north of the border for Hamilton after all NFL teams took a pass on him this past year. He hasn't played organized football since 2015. However, he looked pretty sharp in his first debut. The Toronto Argonauts, however, their defensive players were jawing with him the whole entire game, and Manziel didn't like it.
Argos chirpy a little bit?
It's just part of it. I was trying to help a guy up out of the pile. He wants to say some foul stuff. Listen, I'm not here to be pushed over. You can come at me because my name's in the papers, because my name's on TV. You can come at me. I'm not backing down. I'm here for a reason. I'm here to play ball. I'm not going to be treated like so. It is what it is. It's football. People talk a little bit out there. It is what it is, but just know I'm not backing down from anybody.
Did you feel that there's a little bit of that? That guys are going at you a little
hard? It's a rivalry, you know? We're playing Toronto. Obviously, there's a long-standing rivalry here. They're Grey Cup champs. They jumped on us early. You know, they had every right to talk. Things were going their way and they weren't going ours. But, you know, I think this isn't the last time we're going to see them. This isn't the last time we'll be sitting here after a game against them. So, you know, we'll welcome them with open arms once the season comes. They're not going to back down.
We'll see how Johnny Manziel does north of the border. This is probably his last chance to try to get back into the NFL. He needs to prove himself up in the CFL. He has played quite well for them in the preseason, and he played well in the NFL Developmental League earlier this year. So we'll see where he goes for the former Texas A&M Heisman Trophy winner. Elsewhere, guys, it is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is the Stanley Cup final. It's the Washington Capitals who are playing in their second Stanley Cup, who have never won it, who've been in the league since 1974, going against the Las Vegas Golden Knights, who's a team of misfits, guys that were not wanted on their former rosters. It's their first year in the league, and they're in the final. Simply amazing. The Capitals took game two 3-2. Alexander Ovechkin had a big goal in this one. That's his 13th of the playoffs. Now they are tied 1-1 entering game three, which will go Friday morning at Sunday morning at 4 a.m. going head-to-head with the NBA. So you have to pick if you want to watch your hockey or your NBA, or you're like me, you just buy two TVs, you put them right next to each other, and you flip back and forth between the two. However, the reason the Capitals won this game has got to be the save heard around the world by Mr. Braden Holtby.
And as the game nears its end, that way is punctuated with perhaps the save of the season.
Set across, oh, and it's a go! It's a wide open net! What a save by old Holtby! The paddle of the stick!
In Washington, they'll be calling this the save!
I just said to Sandy, that could be the nicest save I've ever seen in my career.
It was one of the nicest saves. It was a paddle save. He sprawled out, and he kept his team in the game. Hats off to Braden Holtby and the Washington Capitals. Now they head back to the nation's capital. Let's see if they can get some games there. I see this one going to seven games, so if you're in for a treat, if you like your hockey. One man who did not appreciate Braden Holtby's save was his opposing goalkeeper, Marc-Andre Fleury.
I did, yeah. Yeah, it was a good save. No, I don't. I wanted to go in. Yeah, it's tie. You know, we're not in trouble, right? We're just, you know, obviously we'll, it would have been nice to go up 2-0 at home here, but by no means we think this is going to be easy. And, they're a good team, right? They tried to win too, so just going to regroup, look at what we've done, you know, throughout this game, and get ready for the next one.
Let's head on over to the baseball. The Yankees defeated the Orioles 4-1. And it was because of the big man, the outfielder, Aaron Judge, belting his 16th home run of the season.
Deep to left field. There it goes. See ya. A long home run for Aaron Judge. It's 4-1 Yankees.
I was about to say, one of those rare nights where Judge hasn't hit a ball hard. He took care of that with one swing.
So that's what's happening stateside for you. Thanks very much indeed to Ross Christ for that one. We will take a short break. We will compose ourselves, and then we will come back. Just before we do that one, though, there is, of course, one big sports event that I will turn your attention to. If you like your horse racing, even if you don't like your horse racing, you just like big social events, then make sure you are tuned in to Dubai Racing Channel live at 7:30 this evening. Saxon Warrior tops the field for the Epsom Derby as he chases a triple crown. The 2,000 guineas winner is odds-on favourite to win the second leg at Newmarket. Trainer Aidan O'Brien has also announced Delana Roosevelt, Kew Gardens, the Pentagon and Zabriskie will also run today. Dermot Weld, who expects an exciting derby, will enter Hazapur, ridden by Frankie Dettori. Weld won his first derby 2 years ago with Harzand in 2016, a close relative of Derrinstown stud trial winner Hazampur. Roaring Lion and Savannah Star are the two runners for John Gosden. Young Rascal runs for Willie Haggis, while Harry Dunlop's Night to Behold are also in the field. It is the Epsom Derby. It promises to be a cracker, so make sure you tune in. Dubai Racing Channel live from 7:30 this evening.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill in association with Barasti Superdome, the only place to view football this summer.
We're going to wrap things up for you with all the live sport in just a few moments' time. But before that, I just want to play a little clip that I found very intuitive and informative and amusing a little earlier on today. Rafa Nadal, who's very much to the fore over at Roland Garros, where he's bossing it in the French Open, is, as we know, a big football fan. And during his latest press conference, he was asked for his reaction about Zinedine Zidane leaving Real Madrid. Just have a listen in.
Possible. I'd like to have your reaction about Zinedine Zidane's decision. As you know, maybe he decided to quit Real Madrid.
Yes, of course, it was a surprise for everybody, you know. But at the same time, Zidane is a top person. He's a person that that is tough to accept that he's leaving. For different things, different reasons. First thing, because he's a great coach, and he was having a lot of success with our team. Second thing, he's a good person, normal person, humble person. He represents, in my opinion, the right values, and he's a right. He's a perfect example of how somebody with a lot of success have to do the things of every day with being normal, being humble, without saying negative things about the players, about the club, about nobody. I never heard referees, nothing. He was always fine and smiling on the press conference, even when the things were not going well this year. That was so difficult moments. At the end of the year, you won the Champions League and nothing happens. But during the year, have been a very tough year for the team. And he always have been positive and believing on the players and on the club. So he deserved to choose what's better for him. For my side, I just can say thanks for all the things that he did for Madrid. I hope he will be back. And like a sportsman and person, just thanks for the right examples that he gives to the rest of the people.
Two big examples in their respective sports. England are underway against Pakistan. It's day two of the second and final test match between the two. England now trailing Pakistan by 51 runs with 8 wickets remaining. Joe Root and Tom Bess at the crease. Keep an eye on that one. You can find it live down there at Headingley. Let's go over to Memorial.
Zach Johnson has teed off for his third round. He's even through one. Adam Hannonen of Canada is through two holes. He's even par. And Mark Leishman even par through two holes. Elsewhere, some other scores. American Chris Kirk is moving in the third round. He's 2 under through two to bring his score to 2 under of the day. Tiger Woods will be teeing off at 11:20 Eastern time. He's tied for 24th place. We'll see how Tiger does. He had a 67 in his second round, and they're all chasing Jochen Niemann and Kyle Stanley at 11 under.
Italian Open.
Yeah, we've had a change at the top of the leaderboard. A fantastic 10-footer putt sunk on the 14th by Thorbjørn Olsen, the Dane, puts him in the lead, Tom. He's currently at 16 under par. As I've just said, he's on the 14th hole. He's leading Lee Slattery by one at 15 under. Masters champion Danny Willett, he's finally finding some form. He's in third position at 15 under par, followed by other Englishmen, Ian Poulter on 13 under with Scott Henn and Francesco Monaleri, the local favourite at 13 under.
If you want to watch the Rugby Sevens, you can find it on OSN Sports. It's on OSN Sports 1. You can watch the final games of day one of the tournament there. But let's get over to the tennis and get the latest from Roland Garros as we wrap up things down here. Ross Christ is watching centre court.
Yeah, Rafael Nadal, he's easing through this third round. He's defeating the Frenchman 5-1 right now in the second set after taking the first one. Set 6-3. Richard Gasquet is serving right now, and he looks like he's in trouble. He looks like he's struggling going against the number one seed. And of course, he should be struggling. He's going against quite possibly the best clay court player of all time in Rafael Nadal.
Let's go over to court number one, where Zverev is in action against the South African Anderson.
Yeah, he's not having it his own way. What I can tell you is Kevin Anderson is 2 sets to 1 up, and currently they're 4-all in the fourth set, Thomas, all going on serve.
Gael Monfils, the Frenchman, local hero, 32 seed, is 2 sets to 1 against Goffin over on the Suzanne Lenglen stage, as we mentioned there. So keep an eye on that one. Monfils in charge in the fourth as well. He could be closing that one out very, very shortly. Other games are underway on the outer courts as well, and all the action is is being shown to you by Eurosport here in the region. Schwartzman leading Coric by one set to love at the moment, but he has just taken the second set just a few moments ago, 6-3, so he leads that by 2-0. Thanks very much indeed to you, CBR. Enjoy your sport tonight for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you South African fans, they'll be playing Wales at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then, of course, the French top 14 final, Castres, take on Montpellier, and that is at 22:45 UAE time.
Roscoe, enjoy your sport.
Yeah, 4 a.m. Get up early if you want to see the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Washington Capitals going against Las Vegas Golden Knights. And in the basketball, LeBron James's Cleveland Cavaliers going against Steph Curry and the Splash Brothers and the Golden State Warriors.
England underway against against Pakistan at Headingley. That's also live, and as is this man himself. We'll play out with the thoughts of Rafa Nadal. He's in action against Richard Gasquet. He's in complete control of his game, as he has been in complete control pretty much of the clay court tennis arena since he started out. Thanks so much indeed for tuning in. Here is Rafa Nadal as we play out back next week between the hours of 3 and 6 live from Brasti. That was The Grill.
Of course, it had been a very special moment for me, you know, because I think I had 3 years and a half fantastic, 2005, 6, 7 and 8. But I remember that I have been winning a lot of points the link every year, but I had a player that was winning more than me, that was Roger.
The streak of 81 consecutive matches on players coming to an end.
That year and the year before, Novak starts to play so well. So for me, it was another tough rival. So I thought, well, I have been there, but I didn't achieve the world number one. Now another great player is coming, so maybe I will never be number one. That way was so important for me to achieve that, because in some way I believe that I deserve it after having a very high level regularly, almost in every week during 3 years and a half. No? So for me it was an important achievement at that moment, and means a lot to me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.